This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by the No Pork Eating American Lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I am doing great, Vito. Great to be here as always. How are you?
I am doing well, thanks. I'm doing well. It's November the 7th, one day before midterms get underway. And, yeah, I'm doing okay. Thanks. And how was your weekend? Good?
Yeah, weekend was great. Got in some golf and a lot of golf, and that's good.
Great.
And good weekend. How about yours?
Yeah, it was good. Played a little golf and you know, struggled a little bit, but played a little golf and then enjoyed a bunch of college football on Saturday with some family members. And, oh, my God, what a Saturday. Hi, everybody. Good night. It was incredible. College football upset Saturday, I think, was it. Number one, Tennessee took on number three, Georgia Bulldogs, and the Bulldogs dominated Tennessee from the very beginning, and they ended up winning 27-13. The game plan by Kirby Smart, the coach of Georgia Bulldogs, was fantastic. He stated that his team prepared every week for about 15 minutes against Tennessee's offense, and it really showed because they really shut down the powerful offense, Josh Heupel, yeah, Hooker, the quarterback, Heisman Trophy candidate. Boy, they shut him right down. And so congratulations to the Georgia Bulldogs. They really looked good. Ohio State squeaked
best
by
in the country.
Yeah,
best
yeah,
in
I'll
the
tell
country.
You. I didn't expect it, honestly. But now I think I see and understand that Georgia Bulldogs were looking ahead, you know, to this game at the last 3 weeks. And so they really had kind of a lackluster a couple of weeks, but boy, they really and truly shined. And I know Hank's going to go into it on Wednesday and steal his thunder, but just so worth talking about if you're a football fan. Ohio State squeaked by Northwestern 21-7. I mean, that was a kind of a sleeper of a game, but number four Clemson gets beat. They got trounced by Notre Dame 34-14, and it wasn't even close. So, here you got number one going down. You got number four going down. Michigan routed Rutgers 52-17. So, and then the dynasty for 2022 is over. And that is the Alabama Crimson Tide got beat in overtime. Did you watch that game against LSU?
Well, I missed it, but I caught the highlights, and Alabama's been having some problems. They've been struggling at the quarterback, and it showed. So can't say I'm sad.
No, I'll tell you, and thank you, Holger, because Holger was the one that let me know that Alabama is going to lose and turn it on. They score a touchdown. They Alabama with like a less than a minute to go, or and then it goes into overtime, and Bama scores on the first drive, and they are lucky because of a fierce call what saved their game or their overtime. They score. The very next possession, LSU scores immediately, boom, right out of the box. And Brian Kelly, coach of LSU Tigers, says we're gonna win this game. We're not going to double overtime. We're going for two. We're gonna win this game. And sure enough, a pass to the corner, wide receiver catches it, goes over the line, touches the pylon. A 2-point conversion is successful. They end up beating Alabama by one. It's a 32-31 to hand Alabama their second loss of the year. So they're done. They're not going to be in the Final Four unless something really happens that kind of upends over the next three weeks. But it was really good. What an exciting weekend for college football, and Syracuse, their magical season is pretty much over. It was upended by Pittsburgh, who beat them 19-9. So number 20, Syracuse will probably fall out of the top 25, but they still had a great season. There looks like their program is turned around, and Oklahoma State, man, they're getting just annihilated now. And they got beat by Kansas 37-16.
Yeah, they got Iowa 1, Florida State 1 handily over Miami, the Florida Gators 1, and kind of interesting down in the Southeast.
Yeah, it's looks like your FSU Seminoles have turned their program around. They're very impressive this year, and I know they can say all they want to say about playing, but they weren't winning games like this over the last while. So congratulations to them. So.
I think it's great game, and
check out Hank Jones on Wednesday. They'll be talking about this, but it was, boy, you want to talk about just an exciting college football. It's great. And I see Golf Dog is in the house, and I want to say congratulations to your Houston Astros. Houston beat the Philadelphia Phillies 4-2 to win the World Series, their second World Series victory in 6 years. Houston shortstop rookie Jeremy Pena was named the MVP of the series. He had 10 hits at 25 at-bats. He had one home run in a World Series. I think he had four overall in the playoffs. He had two doubles and three RBIs in the 25 at-bats. So Houston looked great. I mean, here the Phillies took a 2-1 lead early in the series after blanking the Astros 7-0 in game three. And then Houston reels off three straight victories, including paying back Philadelphia in game four, and they blanked Philadelphia 5-0 in game four. And then they just cruised 3-2, and they won game six 4-1 over the Phillies to win their second World Series. So really congratulations to the Houston Astros and to Dusty Baker.
Dusty, 73, and been waiting for this moment for his legacy. So congratulations to Dusty Baker. Plus with the rotational no-hitter, which is the first time in World Series history in quite some time. With the Houston Astros.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know. Yeah, that's an achievement. It's
I thought it was kind of cool.
When the Yankees did, you know, it was one pitcher all nine innings, and he, you know, so.
Yeah, unfortunately, the game has changed quite a bit since then.
Oh,
I can't remember
gosh.
The last time I've seen one pitcher play the whole game. It's a rarity, if ever.
Yeah, right? It really is. I think it was Ty Cobb or it was Dizzy Dean, one of those two. Dizzy Dean was a pitcher, but I think Ty Cobb said, he goes, all you need are five pitchers. You need four good starters and one reliever. I'll tell you, that guy's turning over in his grave because you need, now you need, you know, five good starters. You need a, you need two good middle relief pitchers. You need, and you need two good relief pitchers. So like you need a roster of 10 pitchers now instead of, you know, five.
Yeah.
I saw the comments by Ty Cobb is like, oh my God, Cobb would be rolling in his grave right now if he saw how fragile the pitchers are today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep, and I'll tell you, bring it on, boy. He says, how about Bruins? I got to tell you, UCLA Bruins, fantastic. I think that's what Chip Kelly is the coach there, and Chip Kelly's got the UCLA Bruins playing very well, and the game with Southern Cal, USC, and UCLA is going to be a real good one. It's nice to see both teams back in contention. Both are, I think, are in the top 10 in college football. So it's really nice. You got two Big Ten teams in the top five, and you got two Pac-12 teams in the top 10. So and Oregon actually is making a run. So now that's three Pac-12 teams. So yeah, your UCLA Bruins are doing fantastic, boy. Well, Al, tomorrow is the day. Tomorrow, the first Tuesday in November, following the first Monday in November, is Election Day. Imagine that.
Oh, wait. You forgot about the PGA. Russell Henley.
Oh, my gosh, I did. Yes, yes, Russell Henley. Wow. Talk about domination. He took a five-shot lead. He had a five-shot lead after Saturday's final round. And Sunday started off with a five-shot lead, and he ends up winning on Sunday. He finally broke the ice. This poor guy, in the last five times he had a lead, a 54-hole lead, he wasn't able to finish the deal and close the door. But yesterday, he entered Sunday's round with a five-shot lead, and he ended up winning at 23 under par. He won the Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayacoba in Riviera Maya, Mexico, and Henley shot a 1-under-70 to finish at 23-under, four shots better than USA's Brian Harman, who finished at 19-under. Brian Harman, lefty, also had a hole-in-one earlier in the week, which was pretty cool. It was Henley's fourth PGA Tour victory, so congratulations to Russell Henley. It's nice to see him back in the winner's circle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and the closest name, Scotty Scheffler, tied for third, and all in all, it was an interesting tournament. Not that exciting, but interesting.
No, Scheffler shot a 62. Yeah, Sunday was it was kind of exciting. It was really kind of cool to watch these guys trying to they ate up that course. Oh my God, I can't believe how well they played that course. Oh, just absolutely incredible. The talent is just. It's just incredible what's going on, man. These guys can just really flat out play. And then the ladies were in Japan, and a German lady came from behind and stole the victory after the leader, a Japanese lady, she made a real mess of things. I think it was on the 16th hole. Man, I thought I was playing with some buddies after watching her. She chipped over the green and into a bunker and ended up double bogeying the hole and it was a three-shot swing because the German lady ended up birdieing the hole, and she never looked back. I think she ended up winning by two shots. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, but it was nice because she got emotional at the end. She worked really hard to get finally achieve a dream that she had, and that was to win on the LPGA Tour. So congratulations to that young lady. And then I understand, as we were talking earlier in the show, the intellectually challenged Joe Biden hasn't contacted or called Benjamin Netanyahu and congratulated him for his recent victory. Be returning as prime minister of Israel. Is that correct?
That is correct. And his excuse for not calling is he's been very busy with midterms.
Oh,
with the elections coming up, but he hasn't even been to Georgia. Everybody else has. Wait, I take that back. He did step in for 5 minutes, but that was about it, and hasn't left his basement. But meanwhile, every other world leader has already congratulated Bibi Netanyahu, and that just goes to show you that Obama hated Israel, and now our current president also hates Israel. So take care of your own, Israel, because you are on your own, my friends.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, I mean, how much more dishonest can Joe Biden be? I mean, the man is not – the intellectually challenged Joe Biden is not an honest man. And for him to give that lame excuse he hasn't had time is absolute, utter bullshit. You know, and it's a chronic thing with Joe Biden and his lying. The fact is that Joe Biden has sold his soul to the anti-Israel movement. That's headed by Ilhan Omar and Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib. He has the Muslim Brotherhood in the White House, and they are advising him, and it's very clear they're advising him because of how he treats Hamas, a terrorist organization who's recognized as a terrorist organization by the United States State Department. And it's really sad what the, you know, all the steps in this that were made to forge a great relationship with Israel. How these anti-constitutional, anti-American left-wingers who despise Israel go out of their way to shun Israel. And you would think that the American Jews would take note of this, and yet they don't. And what's really sad is if they really do cherish Israel as they say they do, they would hold the American politicians accountable for their rejection of the state of Israel, because that's exactly what's being done. They're rejecting Israel. And the fact that Joe Biden has yet to call Benjamin Netanyahu and congratulate him is a slap in the face. But you know what, Al, as you said, you know, it's predictable because Obama despised Israel and Biden does. And now that, you know, they're okay, Biden and Obama are fine with aligning themselves with anti-American radicals such as Ilhan Omar and Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib. And it's really and truly sad what we're seeing out of this regime in Washington, D.C. And I just wish that the American Jews would just open their eyes and say, you know, enough is enough. The Israelis understand it. I mean, my friends from Israel, they don't have absolutely zero use for Joe Biden, and they see it. Well, how do the American Jews don't see it?
Well, a few do. President Trump was given the was a Defender of Zion Award this week by a group, Jexit and the United West, and Jexit is Jews leaving the Democrat Party. So many people may not have heard of them, but it's Jexit, J-E-X-I-T. So look them up and help them out wherever you can. And he was given this award as a defender of Zion because he was the first president. He moved to Jerusalem. He moved to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done that before. Yeah. And they named a town after him up near the Golan Heights. And Trump is a friend of Israel.
Yeah, nine presidents before him all talked about, you know, moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, but none did it. And it was, you know, it was Donald Trump who didn't have a problem with that and did it, and not one Democrat went to the ceremony in Israel. There was an independent that was there, and that was why Joe, what's his name, from Connecticut, who ran, who actually, didn't he run with, no, he didn't run with Biden. Who did he run with? That was his vice, he was his tag for his vice president, Joe Lieberman. So, yeah, just not good. Not good at all. I'll tell you, it's just the optics of this whole thing is just, it's really sad. And you know, yet now we have another U.S. regime, you know, Biden-Harris regime who absolutely do their damnedest to shun Israel. And it's just not good.
Yeah. Well, we may see President Trump putting his hat in the ring for the 2024 election. He may be running again for president, and I will bet anybody $5 that he will run.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. I wish he would hold his announcement until November the 9th and just kind of, just take the reins away from the establishment of the Republican Party and continue his campaigning and make this election about the candidates and not him. But I understand it. It's, so good luck to him. It's going to be a good task and everything that he did, everything he talked about is coming true. You know, with election day being tomorrow, the midterms are here. What have we seen in just 21 months? We've seen this regime, this Biden-Harris regime, destroy an economy with the attempt to dismantle our constitutional republic. And we had a thriving economy, and it's been destroyed. And it's the highest inflation in 40 years. And we're being told that the Republicans are the ones who made up this term inflation. And that's absolute, utter hogwash. That's totally dishonest by the left-wing media. They're doing anything and everything they can to sanitize the terrible job that Joe Biden has done. Interest rates have skyrocketed. You know, back when President Trump was president, and even for the last, a year ago, interest rates were at 2% and 3% for a 30-year mortgage. Now they're approached 7%. You know, this is not – this term inflation is not something that Republicans made up. And this is how dishonest and disingenuous the left wing truly is. We have inflation. We see it. We see it each and every day. We see it each and every day that we fill up our cars with gasoline. We see it when we go to the grocery store. You see it when you take your kids to some sort of an event or you take them to daycare and how prices have risen. Congressional spending this last 21 months, in just 21 months, folks, the congressional spending was to add $6 trillion to the national debt. $6 trillion to the national debt, and this is all done by Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Joe Biden. And don't forget that. So when you're about to pull that lever tomorrow or fill that box for a candidate, this economy that we're seeing today, the highest inflation in 40 years, the utter chaos in big cities, the congressional spending leading to inflation, $6 trillion in 21 months. The Democrat Party has sold America out to the green scam movement, attempting to terminate fossil fuels. Intellectually challenged Joe Biden's radical decision on January 21st, 2021 to abruptly end America's energy independence was reckless, it was radical, and it was flat out irresponsible, especially with no real alternatives to replace this idiotic and radical move. And just yesterday, over the weekend, Joe Biden doubled down and say there will be no drilling. He's not going to drill. So what does that tell us? With a stroke of a pen and without congressional approval, the intellectually challenged Joe Biden took America off of energy independence and intentionally made America energy dependent on foreign sources of oil. As a result, this incompetent decision immediately caused gas prices at the pump to skyrocket to record high prices all across America, $5 a gallon, $6 a gallon, $7, $8 a gallon. And what was the intellectually challenged Biden's response? He remained silent. All in an attempt to appease the globalist movement. This extremism by the destructive Democrat Party has led to out-of-control transportation costs and a supply chain issue. Thanks to Joe Biden, the intellectually challenged idiot in the White House. Now, one day before the U.S. midterm elections, the U.S. has begun to run out of diesel fuel. The U.S. has begun to run out of diesel fuel. Headline in a conservative treehouse, Southeastern U.S. begins running out of diesel fuel. Today, I just heard in Allentown, Pennsylvania, they ran out of diesel fuel. In North Carolina, there are some stations that are out of diesel fuel. Prior to the installation of Joe Biden on January 20, 2021, it was a fact America was energy independent, and that's an undeniable fact. The article reads, as diesel fuel alert issued a week ago by key fuel logistics companies hasn't changed. Despite a small increase in inventories of diesel fuel over the last week, the alert from Mansfield Energy a week ago was for southern United States, southeastern United States, including North and South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, and Maryland. And now you can add Pennsylvania to that list. The low supply left the southeastern United States with just 25 days worth of diesel fuel, the company said. U.S. Energy Information Administration, EIA, reported Friday those numbers were actually down a bit from last week along the East Coast. Oh, so where's the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttcheeks, huh? Where is he? Is he breastfeeding his child again? And he's MIA? What is this administration doing? What is this regime doing? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Say it again. Low supplies make it difficult to find the fuel quickly, which means trucks have to visit several terminals and strains local trucking capacity, the company said. The low supplies also mean an increase in prices for diesel. On Friday, this past Friday, diesel prices opened up 10 cents higher for the week, Mansfield said. And that's Mansfield Energy. The diesel shortage is threatening to crush America's truckers and farmers, the backbone of our economy. The entire supply chain will feel the impact. Crushing America's truckers and farmers. Truckers who transport goods throughout the United States, including groceries, produce, and meats. Why have we seen grocery prices skyrocket? Because transportation costs have increased. And you can thank the intellectually challenged Joe Biden for that. Diesel fuel doubling and tripling in price at the pump since January 2021. And Biden and Buttigieg are silent. Then they deflect by blaming Vladimir Putin. But the intellectually challenged Joe Biden did announce he will not allow any new drilling. No drilling is what he said. And he was emphatic about it. So, folks, we're going to have to get used to $4 and $5 a gallon of gas or even higher at the pump during the reckless and irresponsible Biden-Harris regime. But this rise in diesel fuel price, and now the fuel alert, lies directly at the feet of the imbeciles in Washington, D.C., the destructive Democrat Party. Their extremism to crush America's truckers and farmers is anti-American, it's radical, and it's reckless. The intellectually challenged Biden stated over the weekend and emphatically stated he will not allow any new drilling. Remember during the election 2 years ago, prior to the election, that's an absolute lie. I never said I would end drilling. Again, Biden is a liar. We still have a diesel fuel crisis, which is now leading to a supply chain issue once again. And folks, this is all in 21 months. If you destroy the fossil fuel industry, you destroy everything else. And while Buttigieg is out breastfeeding his baby, Americans are struggling for supplies to feed their families, and at one point, baby formula to feed their children. And now the Northeast is in jeopardy of running out of heating fuel oil, supply chain issues, all because of the destructive Democrat Party's destruction of fossil fuel. So, Al, what is the motivation behind taking America off of energy independence and destroying the fossil fuel industry.
Well, when you look about a year and a half ago, the mantra coming out of the administration was drill, baby, drill, frack till you can frack no more. But now, like you said, Biden at a Hochul, Governor Hochul rally stated, quote, no more drilling. There is no more drilling. I haven't formed any new drilling, close quote, full stop. And not even his allies in the media and the phony fact checkers will be able to cover for him now on this. And that came straight out of his mouth. And you say, why is he doing this? Well, we talked about this earlier, and you had a great answer as to why. So I think you ought to tell the people why you think this is happening.
Well, my take on why it's happening is twofold. One is Joe Biden has sold America out to the globalist movement. We all have seen and we all understand that the Green Deal, the Green New Deal, to appease the Agenda 30, which is also to push up the agenda to year 2025 to terminate fossil fuel in the United States, take America off of fossil fuels. Now, keep in mind, there's no alternatives. There are no good alternatives. But yet, it's not even ambitious. It's an absolute dumb move. But Biden and the Democrat Party, the left wing, because it's not just the Democrat Party, because there are those on the right side of the aisle who have this same radical agenda, who believe this. So the establishment, the regime, the cabal, they're all beholden to, one, the United Nations, and two, the world organizations. And the world organizations called for suspending any type of fossil fuel in the Western democracies, including the United States of America, and have the United States of America fund the lion's share of this green scam that's being put forth under the Paris Accord and Agenda 30. So this is a globalist movement. The Biden regime, whether it's backed by Barack Hussein, Sator Obama, and his radicals that are inside of the Biden regime, or it's Joe Biden himself, but I don't think Joe Biden is intelligent enough to do this on his own, and therefore he has sold out to this whole regime in Washington, D.C. has sold out to the globalist movement. That would also be the World Economic Forum. It would be the United Nations. And it would be the World Banking System as well. It's amazing how the United States is held to a higher standard than communist China, who is building coal fire plants. India is building coal fire plants, and now you have some places in Great Britain or in Europe have scrapped these windmills, because they're inefficient, especially in the wintertime, and they're going to be building coal fire plants. And you've got this intellectually challenged Biden who intends to close coal fire plants. And you know what's really funny about this, and ironic, and it's funny in an ironic way, apparently Joe Manchin was taken aback by Joe Biden's shutting down of coal, announced he was going to shut down coal fire plants. So remember, Joe Manchin had sold the people of West Virginia and American people out when he voted for the Climate Change Investment Act. The Inflation Reduction Act. So Senator Manchin was surprised at the intellectually challenged Joe Biden's extreme decision to shut down coal fire plants. And how could you be surprised if this is a world movement? I don't get it, Al.
Well, Manchin got double-crossed because part of the deal was that he would go along with the legislation that Biden put out, but West Virginia would not have any cuts to their coal production. And that ended up being he got lied to. Manchin got lied to and played by his own parties. And so screw him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Manchin is a Democrat. Tulsi Gabbard finally left the Democrat Party, but in my eyes, she's still a Democrat. She can't be trusted either. I mean, welcome to the party, but I don't
right.
trust you.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, Holzer asked a question, and this is a good question. If the GOP takes the House and the Senate in January, can they draft legislation to reopen Keystone and increase drilling permits? And I do believe the answer to that is yes, Holzer. And the reason why I would say it's yes, it's because under the U.S. Constitution, it is the Congress who legislates, not the executive branch of government. And somehow we, the people, have been trained and conditioned to accept that the executive orders that are bestowed by the President of the United States somehow overrides the legislative branch of government, and that's not so. And I think what we see with court challenges, and the latest court challenge is going to be with forgiving college tuitions, college student loans. That was a unilateral dictatorial decision by the intellectually challenged Joe Biden, being challenged in the courts, and I believe the Supreme Court for one, because the lower courts upheld the decision to stop or to put a stay on forgiving those student loans. You can't just forgive student loans during a presidential edict. I mean, Joe Biden is not the king of the United States. He is not the czar of the United States, and certainly he's not the dictator of the United States, because we don't have dictators. And so I do believe that if the GOP has the backbone and they can step away from the establishment and the cabal in Washington, D.C., they can actually start opening up. Now, certainly if they pass legislation, it has to go to the president to sign. And the dimwit in the White House will certainly nix any type of drilling or any type of drilling permits that come before him in the form of legislation. Now, that will mean that Congress will need to have a majority that's necessary to override the veto. So if you're Joe Manchin and prior to the election you have the intellectually challenged Joe Biden shutting down coal plants, which means that he's going to terminate the coal industry unilaterally, by the way, unilaterally turning it down. Now, not only did you have 60,000 people unemployed under Barack Hussein, Satoru, Obama, and Biden administration when they shut down the coal mining industry, you're going to have over a million people in West Virginia, Ohio, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, who are coal miners, okay, on all those border states, who are infected by the radical and extreme decisions of the Democrat Party, of the Democrat president. So, you know, I think it's incumbent upon the American people to ensure that a majority, a solid majority in the House and certainly a solid majority in the United States Senate are elected on the Republican side in order to stop this madness. And when you have an announcement that's made that Allentown, Pennsylvania ran out of diesel fuel for truckers, when you have an announcement that made that there are some stations in North Carolina that are out of diesel fuel prior to the 25-day announcement a week ago, and you have a president who gets up during a rally with Hochul, New York Governor Hochul, and stated that we are not going to drill. We will not be drilling. No more drilling. This is more than anything else, folks. We have a delivery issue in this. We have a transportation issue in this country. And the transportation issue is this. We have a supply chain. You've seen the cost of not being able to get fuel. We've seen the cost just in 21 months of America's energy independence being terminated by the stroke of a pen by the intellectually challenged Joe Biden. And now you're going to stop coal-fired plants and you're going to terminate the coal industry with absolutely no other alternative resources. Oh, you're going to build windmills, okay? How long will it take you to erect windmills? We're facing winter in another month. One more month, December 21st, is the official day of winter. How many windmills are you going to put up in Massachusetts, in Vermont, in New England, in New Hampshire, in Maine, in New England overall, to replace the coal fire plant that you've terminated in Massachusetts and you're gloating about it? Here's Joe Biden in his own words with regards to the coal fire plant and being proud of it, by the way. Being proud of terminating the coal fire plant in Massachusetts. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have just caused a supply chain issue with regards to heating oil, with regards to the delivery of fuel, and now you're pounding your chest about closing and shutting down coal fire plants, and the people of Massachusetts now have faced a 64% increase in electricity rates effective November 1st, 2022. And you're bragging that you're not going to allow any more coal fire plants in America.
I was in Massachusetts about a month ago on the site of the largest old coal plant in America. Guess what? It cost them too much money. They can't count. No one's building new coal plants because they can't rely on it, even if they have all the coal guaranteed for the rest of the existence of the plant.
That's a lie.
So it's going to become a wind generation. And all they're doing is they're going to save them a hell of a lot of money and using the same transmission line that transmitted the coal-fired electric on. We're going to be shutting these plants down all across America.
Bingo. We're going to be shutting down plants all across America. You have the cleanest coal fire plant in the Southeast down in Orlando, Florida. They get coal from West Virginia that's trained in. You've got coal fire plants in Texas. Now, how do you propose to replace the energy that this coal fire plant produces? Solar? Well, certainly it's sunny in Florida. Oh, you know, there's a hurricane out there or a subtropical storm that's off the coast of Florida once again. So now when 2 million people in Fort Myers, Florida, in Englewood, Florida, in Punta Gorda, Florida, and North Naples, Florida, are without electricity, how in the fuck are they going to charge up their electric vehicles that now you're going to mandate that people drive electric vehicles? Huh? How? You know, this reckless, irresponsible green scam environmental movement is actually killing the American people. And now you're going to have rolling blackouts in Massachusetts because of the intellectually challenged Joe Biden gloating about shutting down and bragging to shut down coal fire plants. Biden brags about shutting down Massachusetts coal energy plant after Massachusetts Energy Company announces a 64% increase in electricity rates. I'd say that's inflation. I don't know, Al. What do you say? Is that hyperbole?
No, he's putting the screws to the American people for the reasons that you gave. He wants to bring America down a few notches.
Make America dependent again. And it's exactly what this guy is doing and the left wing is doing.
Yeah. So if that's what you want, more power to you. Just remember, with the right person in charge, you can flip the switch and America still has enough fossil fuel energy to be self-sufficient as we were a little less than 2 years ago. We were a net exporter of fuel. But not anymore.
And you know, if we didn't if we didn't get into that net, if we didn't get into the exporting part of it, Al, you know, we've got fuel for the next 150 to 200 years to supply the United States of America. Okay. And let's say, let's just be greedy for a minute here. Okay. Now, the one thing America is noted for over the last 230 years is the ingenuity and the freedoms in America and the intellect in America. And when you think about this, I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, you can question the United States of America all you want to, but American ingenuity is second to none. You know, 125 years ago, there wasn't this thing called the telephone. And thanks to American ingenuity, we got the telephone. And it may have started with, you know, with Thomas Edison, you know, with going to Watson. Can you hear me, Watson? And yes, okay, but it started. You can go back 35 years ago. And kids today don't understand, but there was no such thing as a VCR. There was no such thing as beta machines. And then VCRs became very popular. What about the camera and how the camera has been modified over the last 150 years? Okay, so American ingenuity, my point is this. Thanks to American ingenuity, I'm very confident over the next 150 years that alternative sources of energy will be devised by some American inventor or inventors who will develop some sort of alternative fuel sources while the free flow of oil continues. And maybe it's a combustion engine that gets 120 miles per gallon. And maybe it's a combustion engine with some sort of a fuel cell, you know, that's tied to the sun in order for it to run 1,000 miles. But you know what? I'm very confident that something like this would be developed, but I'm going to be dead in the next 50 years. I don't care, okay? But I care enough to know that America's intellect, if you let inventions and you spark this fuel of inventors, they will develop some sort of alternative sources that the government does not want to be had today and tomorrow. Okay? Because this is about power in Washington, D.C. This is about a unilateral decision by a cabal in Washington, D.C. that wants to break the American people, break our constitutional republic, because they want absolute power. And really, what really struck me was how Joe Manchin took all this. And finally, somebody in the Democrat Party, aside from Tulsi Gabbard, has stepped outside of that vanilla box and read something different from the programmed instructions of the DNC. Today, U.S. Senator Joe Manchin released the following statement on comments President Biden made about shutting down coal plants. Biden's comments are not only outrageous and divorced from reality, they ignore the severe economic pain the American people are feeling because of rising energy costs. Comments like these are the reason the American people are losing trust in Biden and instead believes he does not understand the need to have an all-in energy policy that would keep our nation totally energy independent and secure. It seems his position changed depending on the audience and the politics of the day. Politicizing our nation's energy policies would only bring higher prices and more pain for the American people. Let me be clear. This is something the president has never said to me. Being cavalier about the loss of coal jobs for men and women in West Virginia and across the country who literally put their lives on the line to help build and power this country is offensive and disgusting. The president owes these incredible workers an immediate and public apology, and it's time he learned a lesson that his words matter and have consequences. What really struck me about that comment or by Joe Manchin was President Biden's comments are not only outrageous and divorced from reality. And finally, someone said it. You know, the most honest thing Manchin has ever said is finally a Democrat who's speaking the truth about the intellectually challenged Joe Biden, who is divorced from reality. Now, obviously, Joe Manchin didn't pass his comments to the DNC to sanitize and to correct. He released this on his own, which is something that's kind of extraordinary. Because comments like these are the reason the American people are losing trust in Biden. Well, let me tell you something, Senator Manchin. We're going to be shutting down these plants, and we're going to all across America and having wind solar. But you know what, Joe? The American people have lost trust in Joe Biden. His actions, his lies, and his feckless policies, the Americans understand that the man's a fraud. The American people have lost trust in the intellectually and dishonest Joe Biden. The man is incapable of telling the truth, and he continues his cognitive decline, plus selling America out to the global climate scam movement as dictator Joe Biden radically ends America's fossil fuel and now coal usage with no infrastructure in place to replace these two sources. This is not just irresponsible. This is crazy and outrageous. So let's see if the American people are listening, because the vote in Nevada for Paul Laxalt's grandson, Adam Laxalt, is very important because it could change the balance of power in the United States Senate. It could help override these radical edicts that are being passed down by Joe Biden, the intellectually challenged one. The same thing goes in Georgia with Warnock, that radical's reign, and elect Herschel Walker. In Ohio is directly affected by the shutting down of the coal mining industry. It's not just West Virginia, but Southern Ohio is impacted by this. So that's why it's important to vote for J.D. Vance over the incumbent Democrat, destructive Democrat Ryan. How about in Arizona? You don't think energy has an issue in Arizona? It most certainly does. And that's why it's important that the people of Arizona elect Masters over the Democrat incumbent Kelly. You know, this isn't just about shutting coal-fired plants in Massachusetts, but this also impacts the people of West Virginia, of Ohio, of Pennsylvania. And hell, in Pennsylvania, you have another intellectually challenged individual who's running, Fetterman. I mean, the people of Ohio have a clear choice, and that's Dr. Oz. You would not trust a pilot who has the same condition as John Fetterman piloting your plane. And that's the one thing I have to agree with. I heard the comments by Dr. Phil. Would you trust a pilot who has the same medical condition as John Fetterman being a pilot of your plane? I mean, could you just hear it? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all. Hello, good night. I want to thank you all for coming on our flight here. We're Delta flight 249. Delta. I'm on American Airlines. I'm on American Airlines flight 158. I know you're going to Mesa, Arizona, and we're going to be flying at 10,000 feet. We're going to cross the Atlantic. Across the Atlantic, we're going to Minneapolis, Minnesota, not Mesa, Arizona. And why are we going east versus west? And then, of course, you call over the waiter, and he goes, "I want you to tip your waiters, waitresses, and bartenders." I thought we had flight attendants. Mr. Flight Attendant, are we going to Minneapolis, Minnesota, or Mesa, Arizona? Oh, he gets his M's mixed up. You know, I mean, this is how irrational. Yeah, TWA, thank you. Or Braniff. This is how irresponsible the Democrat Party is. I'm sorry. I know that Fetterman has a medical condition. you know, and I hope he gets well, but not at the expense of the American people. There's no way, shape, or form that John Fetterman should even be close to Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania. And just because Oprah Winfrey has come out, you know, endorsing Fetterman, are we to be surprised about that? I mean, seriously, take a step back, okay? I've heard it, you know, Dr. Oz got his start on Oprah Winfrey's show. You know something? Oprah Winfrey is a leftist. She's part of that global cabal, the World Economic Forum. She's attained that position, okay? She's attained, you know, that status. Do you really think that she wants the American people to have that same opportunity? Why would you even consider John Fetterman unless you want the American people indentured to the federal government? There's no way, shape, or form that you should even entertain John Fetterman. But the issue is two things. One, Oprah Winfrey's a leftist. End of story. You can say all you want to say. It doesn't matter. If Dr. Oz was running as a Democrat, she would be endorsing Dr. Oz, and she would be gloating about the fact that she was the one that got Dr. Oz's career on television jump-started. But the fact that he's running as a Republican, and the fact that he could believe in capitalism and the free enterprise system and the individual liberties and freedoms and not government controls, Oprah Winfrey doesn't like that. And another thing, Oprah Winfrey's black. I don't know if you noticed that, care that she's black, but the issue is also the color of her skin. And the Democrat Party, the destructive Democrat Party, knows that John Fetterman is doing a poor job. And he's doing a poor job in the black community. How can the Democrat, the destructive Democrat Party, inspire black people to go to the polls and vote? Because I am sure that that the Democrat Party is watching this very closely, and they see that the get out to vote in the black vote in Pennsylvania is in a decline. And they're nervous as hell, the Democrats. And so they need something to jumpstart the black vote. The other part is black Americans are tired of being used by the Democrat Party, the destructive Democrat Party, the dishonest Democrat Party. Because one thing that Trump had right was, it doesn't matter the color of one's skin. The American dream should be afforded to each and every person. It is afforded to each and every person, irrespective of their gender, of their race, the color of their skin. It doesn't matter. America's opportunity is available to all. And those are the words that scare the bejesus out of the Democrat Party, because they've used the black Americans as tools. And you have younger black Americans who are stepping out of that plantation, and they've said enough is enough. And they know that economic prosperity can be had by all, irrespective of the color of your skin. And I think that the destructive Democrat Party sees that John Fetterman is uninspiring. They know that the intellectually challenged Joe Biden is uninspiring as well. And they're concerned. They're concerned because the turnout would be low. And secondly, they wouldn't be voting straight Democrat. So tomorrow's election day, the United States is faced with a diesel fuel crisis. It's already begun, and it is a direct cause by the intellectually challenged Joe Biden and his taking America off of energy independence. It is directly caused by that. And you've got the Democrat leadership in the United States Congress, one, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who supports and excuses the irrational actions of Joe Biden, the dictatorial actions of Joe Biden. Chuck Schumer supports these radical and anti-American decisions by Joe Biden. how they continue to excuse this man's actions, how they continue to excuse the fact that he's in cognitive decline, and yet they defend this guy. Why? Because it's a club in Washington, D.C. Joe's been part of that club for 50-plus years. Nasty for 40 years. Chuck Schumer for 35, 36 years. Jerry Nadler for 40 years. It's the same club. And it's time to end that club. You know, I know what our founders meant in the Declaration of Independence when they said that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow we have the opportunity to institute a new government. We have an opportunity to send a message to Washington, D.C. Now, I know that there are politicians on both sides of the aisles that think the same. Doesn't matter if they have a D or an R after their name. But there can be enough of a change tomorrow that we can put an end to this insanity that has arisen in just 21 months. We have a border that is absolutely out of control. We have an invasion that has caused the border an influx of drugs that are killing our kids. And all we hear in the Democrat Party in the past was, oh, the children for the children. Absolute hogwash. It's a soundbite. It's to tug at your heartstrings. It's nothing but a play on your emotions because they could care less about your children. They could care less about the free flow of drugs in the United States. They could care less about 175 people dying in the back of a truck. Illegal immigrants, you know, dying in the back of a tractor-trailer truck. They could care less about 2 million illegal aliens invading the United States and then being transported all around the United States by the Biden-Harris regime. They don't care. But it's time to put an end to this current form of government that's led by Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Steny Hoyer, McConnell. It's time to put an end to that. That's what our founders meant. It's time to alter and abolish. In just 21 months, we're seeing our borders invaded. In 21 months, we see $6 trillion of new debt added to the national debt. Inflation to skyrocket, and inflation is not a Republican term. We all felt the inflation in the last 21 months, going from $1.89 a gallon to fill up your cars to $5 a gallon, $6 a gallon, $7, $8 a gallon in California. We've seen our grocery prices in just 21 months skyrocket. And what has Nancy Pelosi done? Opened her freezer, eats her ice cream while her husband's getting hammered, and excuses Joe Biden's actions. 21 months we've seen this. We've gone from energy independence to total dependence. And we're buying Russian oil, the tune of 670,000 barrels a day. And we're fueling Russia's war in the Ukraine. Not to mention sending billions of dollars to Ukraine while we're buying Russian oil. You see how hapless this Biden is, this Biden regime is? Because Joe Biden is not intellectually up to the task. But a man who is up to the task intellectually, Al, is we have a caller on the line who wants to add his intellect to this discussion. Good evening, Holger. How are you?
Holger, welcome.
The Viking is here.
It's not very often that, you know, you claim that an intellectual is joining the fray, then the guy blows a horn and wears horns on a helmet. It's like a,
how are you?
It's like a cheesehead from Wisconsin, you know. They wear cheese wedges on their heads. We Viking helmets. And want people to take us seriously, damn it. You know, I had to call in because your whole talking about the, you know, and I asked the question about whether or not the Congress can, you know, increase the drilling and all that kind of good stuff. My experience has been that you know, we've kind of got this tug of war in this country, the government versus the people,
mm-hmm.
and the government wants all of the control. And most people are willing to give the government some control, but they do want to, you know, hang on to their own, you know, decision-making and all that kind of good stuff. The difference is, in this whole scenario is this, is Donald Trump didn't, like, put a gun to anybody's head and say, you know, drill for oil, buddy, and start, you know, get this independent and self-supporting on oil. I mean, basically, Donald Trump just took the federal government permit situation and left it up to the free market.
Ah.
And Joe Biden, what Joe Biden has done following the, you know, the whole climate change green revolution thing, which is nothing about saving the earth, it's nothing about lowering temperatures, it's all about government control. I liken it back to Obamacare. Obamacare wasn't about making health insurance more affordable for people. It was about government control over the healthcare industry, at least the start of it and so forth. Have we seen that go away? That isn't
no.
gone away.
It's gotten worse.
It's going to get... So once the government takes control of shit, they never let go of it. Okay? So bottom line is this, is, you know, and I think, because, I mean, there's people out there that are going to go vote tomorrow, and they think if they vote for this guy, then all of a sudden, you know, in 3 months, gas is going to be back to, you know, $1.89 a gallon. You know? You know, I just read an article where the Keystone Pipeline is dead. It's dead. It's gone. It's over. It's history. Forget about it. Give us the New York Italians expression of forget about it.
Forget about it.
Yeah, there you go.
Forget about it. Dead.
Because the XL Pipeline was operated by a Canadian company who invested a shit pot full of money, and because of Joe Biden, they lost their asses, so they got pissed off, and they pulled all their shit out. They pulled all their equipment out. They relinquished all of the permits that they had. They've been asked by Republicans across this country to rethink, and they've said, screw it, we're done. We're out of there. You know, that wasn't a government project. That was a private project. And they got so pissed off at Biden, Biden cost them so much money, they said, screw it. It ain't going to happen. We took our stuff and we went home. So it's done. And, you know, I think that's what people have to realize is every one of these things is all about taking power away from the people and putting it in the hands of government. That's everything these guys do. That's what their mission in life is. Every single thing can be traced back to that. Let me just throw this out. Do you know what your Al Gore started all this with the inconvenient truth, the whole global warming thing. What year? Do you remember what year he started that?
I don't. Is it 1998, 99?
2006 is when the movie came out.
Okay.
So let's just say 16 years, 17 years ago. Okay. Have you ever once heard anybody from the left quote any data about improvement in carbon emissions across this world? Because obviously there's a shit pot full of Priuses out there. You know, Priuses have been around for a long time, and we've got electric cars now. You're almost forced to buy electric cars. Europe, I mean, they built nuclear plants left and right. They reduced their dependence upon fossil fuels to the point now that they're going to be burning Billy's little crib for heat this winter. Has anybody ever come out and said, well, because we've done this for 16 years, we've seen a drop in temperatures, global temperatures of 3%. you've never heard it, because
never.
That's not what it's about. You know? COVID wasn't about saving people's lives in America. The lockdowns, you know, how many governors in the country who locked down their states came out and said, hey, we just saved 422,000 lives. They couldn't say that because they went up.
But under Joe Biden, you had 720,000 more people die. So Joe Biden has blood on his hands, and under his analogy, he should resign because baseline, you know, 220,000 was his baseline because that's what he demanded that President Trump resign with 220,000 people dying. But now that, you know, Biden had the vaccine, an additional 700,000 people died under his reign. So he should be, go ahead. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. I apologize. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, my point is this, is in pushing back against this government, we have to simplify things for the American people. I mean, it's really a simple thing. I mean, you basically just nailed it in the fact that if you can imagine me standing, you know, at a podium on the same stage with Joe Biden, and I said to him, Mr. President, the American people forced mandatory lockdowns. Companies were shut down because they were deemed inessential. Millions of people lost their jobs and had to go on welfare. This was all done because government insisted we had to do this to save lives. Yet lives lost increased 273% under your regime. So when I say that, it points out, the point I want to make is this. Joe Biden and the government claim the right to shut down this country. They, out of thin air, they said, we've got the right to shut down the economy. We've got the right to put masks on you when you get on a plane. We've got a right to do all this. And then when it's all said and done, it didn't work. It didn't work. The American people can understand that, you know, because we can all relate to like a dad that said, okay, we're all going to get out and paint the house ourselves. I'm not going to hire a painter, and we're all going to do it. Everybody's going to pitch in, and, you know, like 8 months later, you know, a third of the house is painted, and it's like three different shades of color. Everybody knows what failure is. When you point out to the American people that this omnipotent government who swooped in to save the day failed, that's when the American people start to doubt the government. And I've said along that if they can't, I mean, I always go back to you know, when Obamacare came out. Remember when they did the big Obama healthcare website?
Mm-hmm.
And like crashed in like 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, those are the kinds of things, okay? Oh, my God, these people are here to save the day. Everybody's going to be covered under health insurance, and within 2 hours, you couldn't even log into the frickin' site.
Yeah, and that was Obama.
Here's your knight on a shining knight on a white horse, and he can't even get a website to work?
Yeah.
So... You know, the way this whole political thing works, which makes it so ridiculous, is that the Democrats, the left, the cabal, they're already light years ahead of us, okay? What I just described about the Keystone Pipeline and about the expectations of the American people that gas is going to be back to normal and all that, they've already been plotting this out for a year and a half, looking at these midterms and going, okay, here's the plan. Okay, so phase one is going to start in March of 2023 when we start the campaign against the Republican Congress who's failed to bring inflation down even 1%. You know, and their plan is going to have 7 phases to it, and by the end of it, they're going to have the Republicans look like the most incompetent pieces of shit you've ever seen in your life.
I can't argue
but
with
again,
that one.
It's all about control. It's all about control. It's you know, this is why Al Gore did that. That's why this was all presented. It was all to get us to this point we are right now, where we are absolutely at the mercy of the government. I mean, there's going to be a ton of people this winter who are going to be absolutely at the mercy of local governments to get emergency heating oil and gas to heat their homes.
Mm-hmm.
It's yep. going to be like the biggest increase in, quote, welfare you've ever seen in your life.
And the excuse that will be used is, well, you know, the people of Europe are also paying $6 a gallon for heating oil, and they're having a hard time heating. The people of Japan are having a hard time, and the people of that's an absolute distraction. It's distraction from reality. And I'm not discounting the fact that Europe has the same set of globalist leaders that we now have in the United States, who don't give a flip about the American people. And want the American people indentured to the federal government. Or put it this way, to government, because you mentioned it. They're going to go to their local governments, whether it's a city or state government, and say, we need help, we need assistance, and now the welfare programs are intact. We need heating oil. How do I heat my house?
Yeah. But see, where the argument doesn't work with Europe is because Europe – okay, the countries in Europe, you know, have basically lived as indentured and servants for centuries, since the existence of time. They've all served, some of them still do, live under kingdoms, live under monarchies. You know, their governments now, they don't have a monarchy now, but their government basically parallels a monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
This, we're talking about America, where people... We've got a whole different take on things, okay? It's like, you know, as a people, the people of America are not used to begging the king for some propane this winter so my family doesn't die.
Yeah, but we are now. They did that during the pandemic. They flexed their muscle. They did.
There you go.
And not only did they flex it with this masking, mandating, people losing their jobs, the list goes on and on. We all know it well. And then they ask for forgiveness, but they know that they can turn it on and off because the people themselves were enforcing these mandates and edicts against not only their family, community members, but on their fellow Americans without much prodding to do it.
Yep.
That is what scared the crap out of me, and I think it's only going to get worse when they decide to flip that switch again when the next pandemic comes up, which it will. I don't know when, but that red flag event will happen.
And you're exactly right, Al. And if you look at the basic human needs, this is what obviously they focused on the health of people and was completely effective because they scared the shit out of people in this country and across the world. They scared the crap out of people, especially old people, scared the crap out of them so they could latch on to control. Okay, now it's going to be the energy crisis is the next phase. So now they end up with, showing mercy to those in need for home heating oil and so forth. The next thing is going to be food. Oh, your family needs to eat? Well, we got a world food shortage, and the only place you're going to get food is over at the local federal government food distribution center. And, by God, you can't even get in that place unless you got a mask on.
Yep.
And a number stamped on your forehead.
And you know somebody.
Yep. So the battle for who has the power in this country continues. And, the Biden, administration has basically been tasked with implementing, these initial stages of government control. They didn't give that job to Barack Obama. I mean, he set the groundwork. He started a few things, but, that's why they wanted to put Biden in this position, because he's expendable, because they weren't really sure, And I've said it before on your show here that, the only country in this world, that pushed back on the frickin' mask thing, on the mandates thing, was America. It's the only country. I mean, look at what Australia, those people bent over like frickin' weeds in a windstorm. They folded like a deck of cards.
You ain't kidding.
Well, we'll have to see after the election when the Republicans win, which I'm fairly confident they will. Will the Republicans get rid of Mitch McConnell? And if we don't get rid of Mitch McConnell and some of the establishment hacks, then nothing is going to change.
Well, nothing's going to change. I would make the argument, Al, that nothing's going to change until the American people decide which is more important. Is it more important that I'm able to make personal decisions about my life, or is it more important that I turn that responsibility completely over to the government so I don't have to worry about it?
Well, what do you think the majority would answer that? Because we're skeptics and malcontents to a certain degree, and true patriots from every constitutionalist point of view. We're the good guys, but there's a lot of people who aren't. How do you think they'll turn, given that?
I mean, I think basically it's come down. We're sitting on the head of a pin right now. I think this country literally is at 50-50. 50% of the people are just ready to just do an Australia, turn it over, let the government do whatever they damn well please. I'm just going to, mosey on down the path and hope they don't kill me. Okay, the other half is saying, piss on it. This is the United States of America. We didn't go through all the crap we've gone through the last 250 years, to have some tyrants controlling us. I think it's 50-50, and the whole argument about, well, we've got a bunch of Republicans who don't show some spine and stuff, is, I mean, that's like a pimple on a whale's ass. I mean, that is so far in the weeds compared to the major thing, is when the American people, a certain percentage of the American people just stood there and said, okay, screw it. I'm not getting vaxxed, and I'm not wearing a mask. That's what this country was built on. King George, you are not going to tax our frickin' tea again. We're going to dump it in the harbor, and if you don't like it, send your redcoats over, and we'll talk about it.
I think Sue wants to add to this, so good evening, Sue. Welcome, Sue from New Mexico. You have
hi Vito and Al and
hey Sue.
Hey, hi. Yeah. Sorry, I had like, you know, a brain fart there. Sorry, Holger. But anyway, what I wanted to say is someone's listening to this program, especially like the last 10 minutes or so, and is kind of on the fence whether should I go vote, or things going to change, or anything else, you know, I'd probably right now say, nah, not worth it. But let me tell you, for everybody who is listening, I have faith in America. I don't think that the gas prices are automatically going down, or, you know, a lot of things are going to happen after this election. But what this election is taking back America. It is putting a stop to some of this stuff that is going on. Now, to roll things back, I think that's going to take a long time. Mm-hmm. And just because McConnell's in there, you know, I think we can see some things, you know. But people, get out and vote. Don't lose faith in America. Have faith in America. Have faith in our elections. Have faith in your vote. We can make a difference. I think it's more than 50-50, definitely more than 50-50. I think people are waking up. But let me tell everybody, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a long time to get back to where we were. But if we don't start now, we're lost. And anyway, that's just it. That's my rant. Have faith. And yes, you know, and maybe they will have to give out some welfare for heating oil because of what Obama Biden has done. You know, that's not the people freezing in their homes' fault. But take care of the people. Do what you said you would do. And get it back to where it was. And I believe in America, and I believe we can do it. And everyone get out and vote. Don't lose the faith. Anyway, that's me. That's my rant. Thank you for letting me come on.
Oh, anytime. And you're spot on, Sue. And I you know, I do think, and I'm not speaking for Holger now, but I know that, you know, we get caught up in the technicalities of it. And that's why, you know, early in the show we were talking about it's important to elect Adam Laxalt in Nevada and Walker in Georgia and Master in Arizona and J.D. Vance in Ohio and Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, including Marco Rubio in Florida. And the thing is, the candidates that we have today are different from the vanilla ones that we had just 10, 15 years ago. And our founders had it right in the Declaration of Independence. I truly believe that. You know, I understand what it means that when any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish it and institute a new government. And that's exactly what we can do tomorrow. Because that's what the American people are made of. And as Holger said, when King George, you know, came in and was going to tax our tea, what did the American people do? Our colonists stood up to this oppressive ideology and said enough is enough. And that's what we have to do tomorrow.
is get out there and vote. And all this nonsense about being oppressed and having the right to vote and voter suppression is absolute junk. Absolute junk. This morning on TV, the local TV was interviewing this beautiful black lady who had a nice smile. She's voted in every election in the last 45 years. I thought, wow. Oh, where's the voter suppression right there? How did she vote? How did she have the ability to vote? Did she have a voter ID? Were there people at the polls? No, she voted every election. I don't care how she voted. The fact is that she had the opportunity and the ability to vote, and every person should get out and vote tomorrow. And let's vote this absolute insanity that we've seen occur in the last 21 months out of office.
You know, amen, Vito. And I don't know, I sent it to you and I had tweeted it. When Obama was campaigning for Fetterman, it is absolutely blew my mind. If you listen to him and he says democracy is going to be gone if the red wave wins, you know, that kind of paraphrases. But when he was describing what was coming if, you know, the red won tomorrow,
yep.
It was exactly what they have done. He was describing himself. He was describing the Democrat Party. He was describing, you know, everybody. And it was amazing. And he was doing it out in the open, thinking people weren't smart enough to see what he was doing. But let me tell you, people are smart. They're waking up. They're fighting. It's, you know, I think 1776 starting all over again. Sorry I took so much time. I know you've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, thank you.
Welcome. You're welcome. Thank you very much for calling in. Anytime, you put your hand up anytime, because we'd like to hear from you. And thanks for straightening us out.
Yep, thanks, Sue. No, there's a bright side on every horizon.
And
sometimes you just miss that. Yeah, sometimes you just miss that in our anger and angst, our ajna.
All right, Sue, have a nice evening. I'll put you back on the board.
Have a great week, Sue. Great call.
She's right. You know what? Have the faith. And I know that, you know, we do have the faith, and we're just hopeful, you know, and we're cautiously optimistic about tomorrow. But we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. 35 of the 100 Senate seats are up for election. You know, I just hope the American people, it doesn't matter what part of the country you're from. You know, in talking to Holzer, he said that he gave some interesting info on Minnesota. Minnesota elections are between Republicans and Democrats are like at 50%, 51-49, 50-50. And in 2020, the Democrats had 7-8 point leads. In 2020, the Saturday before the election, the 2 Saturdays before the election, there were 900,000 absentee ballots cast in Minnesota. The same period of time in 2022, there were 117,000 absentee ballots cast. So think about that. In 2020, there were over 900,000 absentee ballots cast, and in 2022, the same time frame in Minnesota is 117,000 ballots cast, absentee ballots, 800,000 less. And the Democrat Party is reeling from that. Their races are tight. The American people have had enough. And let's hope that resonates around the country. And it's why, you know, they had to bring Biden out from the basement and go to California in supposedly safe havens to campaign, if that's what you call it, for people, including going to Pennsylvania, you know, to campaign for Fetterman. And it's like, why isn't he in, you know, he comes to Florida, okay, and he's campaigning for Charlie Crist and Val Demings. You know, Charlie Crist is the absolute worst, the worst politician out there in Florida. And Demings is second. It's just, it's incredible. Charlie Crist did an absolute horrible job as a governor the first time, the last time he was elected. And he was a Republican at that point. It was so bad that he was even interviewed for John McCain's as John McCain's vice president and couldn't even make the short list because Charlie Crist is that dumb and he's that dishonest. And now he's running for governor again, and you still don't know what the guy's platform is because all he does is he bashes Governor DeSantis. Oh, what's your policies, Charlie? No, it's just intellectually shallow individual who is just the atypical Democrat. You know, Demings and Crist voted for 87,000 new IRS agents. Demings and Crist voted for $6 trillion in new spending. Keep in mind, they voted exactly the way Nancy Pelosi instructed them to vote each and every spending spree. The same with Jerry Nadler in New York. The same with AOC in New York. AOC, the race in District 14 with the radical Marxist AOC, there's a clear choice. Tina Forte or Alexandria Cortez. AOC voted with Nancy Pelosi each and every time. $6 trillion new spending spree, 87,000 new IRS agents. What did Holder just get done saying about King George and the American colonists rejecting George, King George, and his taxation without representation? And now these so-called representatives are spending money at ad nauseum. They're funding Ukraine war, and you have this administration buying Russian crude oil. That makes absolutely zero sense. Zero. $6 trillion in new spending in just 21 months. It's time for a change. And Tina Forte is that change. Jerry Nadler running for election. He beats out the other incumbent when they redistricted District 12 in New York, which is downtown Manhattan. Mike Zembluskis is the Republican challenger. It's time to get rid of Jerry Nadler. Make him a myth of New York. It's time for a change. It's time to eradicate these radicals. And speaking of radicals, you're the one that told me about the radical that's running down in Florida. The Muslim Brotherhood supported candidate Maxwell Frost is running against Calvin Wimbush, Lieutenant Colonel Calvin Wimbush. Clear choice right there, Muslim Brotherhood or an American patriot, and that's Calvin Wimbush. Then you have the race for Florida State Attorney General. That one's a clear choice. You have Aramis Ayala, who was supported by George Soros. George Soros funded her campaign when she was a state's attorney, and now she's running for Florida's Attorney General. Ashley Moody is the choice. Let's send these radicals packing. And it doesn't matter if it's New York State. Lee Zeldin easily over Kathy Hochul. Hell, you got rid of Andrew Cuomo, the disgraced governor of New York. You want to talk about oppression? You want to talk about lockdowns? You want to talk about keeping the people of New York down? Not opening up your small business because of governmental edicts, including from the disgraced governor, 15,000 seniors dead as a result of Andrew Cuomo's decision, and Kathy Hochul is no better. You have a clear choice. Lee Zeldin for governor in New York. It's time to send a message all over America. Send Beto O'Rourke packing. There's nothing Beto O'Rourke has done. Nothing. He's got zero accomplishments except being an agitator. There's a clear choice. Governor Greg Abbott or Beto O'Rourke. Enough is enough.
But when you can't beat him, you try to beat him. At GOP, Carrie Lake, running in Arizona, white powder was sent to her headquarters. FBI agents and Phoenix Police Department officers were called to the Republican Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake's campaign headquarters on Sunday after one of her campaign staffers opened an envelope reportedly containing a white powdery substance. Luckily, nobody was hurt. Still under examination, and nobody has been caught. And then but what was shocking is that the media spiked the story for all intents and purposes. Yes, it was shown in a few places, but maybe for one cycle at most. This should have been front page news. And you probably didn't even know, but back on October 19th, someone fired a gunshot, went into the home, the children of Republican North Carolina congressional candidate Pat Harrigan. We mentioned it here, but after we mentioned the story, I didn't see too much of it on the main ABC, NBC, and CBS, and CNN. It was almost like they spiked that story, too. And Pat Harrigan, they were saying during the campaign, a bullet was shot into their home through the window of a laundry room located below where his children were sleeping. No suspect has been arrested. And then at Hochul, she had a rally, and a black woman was assaulted, grabbed by the neck by a white liberal racist Democrat, and practically threw this woman into unconsciousness, and charges will be pending. So that's who these Democrats are. They're evil sons of bitches.
And why? Okay, so here we have a clear. Why would the DNC state-run media spike stories of this nature? Why would they do that?
Well, it's what they've always done. I mean, from the pandemic on, because they have a balance. It used to be the media used to be the fifth estate. It used to keep the politicians honest because they would report on the politicians, both the good and the bad, and primarily the bad, is that when they get in trouble, the media is there to blow it up, and then they end up disappearing. But now the media has, without a doubt, become an arm of the Democrat Party. So now the media is like an apparatchik of the Democrat Party. This is what communism is like. They control the media. Now, there is independent media, social media, but we're finding out pre-Elon Musk how bad things were at Twitter, when Twitter actually controlled their political messaging and they silenced those conservatives, which they did not like. In fact, I even got put in 12-hour timeout at Twitter because I put up a tweet that said, okay, breaking news, all you Democrats, vote November 9th and do it for your party. You know, it's a stupid joke, but they said, I got one of those messages that said, tweet has misinformation. Please delete it. You are in 12-hour time out.
So you're a bad boy.
I tell you, I put out misinformation. And I wrote back and said, yes, I did put out misinformation. And if someone is stupid enough to believe that, then they don't need fact checkers.
Well, you know, Al, the media is, you're absolutely right. They're in the bag for the DNC, the Democrat National Committee. There's no doubt about that. And there's no objectivity in the majority of the media anymore. And for them to spike the stories of Carrie Lake with the white substance, the candidate in North Carolina whose family was fired at, and, you know, the Brett Kavanaugh attempted assassination, and they spike it because they don't want the American people to be aware that the violence is not coming from the right side, because then that kills the narrative from the left side. The left side is to paint Republicans as violent. And Republicans aren't violent. The conservatives are not violent individuals. The violence stems from the left-wing lunatics, the left-wing in this country. And it's time and time again, it clearly shows, you know, how irrational the Democrat Party, the left-wing, truly is. And look how Jerry Nadler back – you just never forget that. Jerry Nadler, when he was asked a question about what was going on in Seattle and the siege, the 90-day siege in Portland and Seattle by the left wing, what did Jerry Nadler say? What you're seeing in the upper Northwest is a myth. And there was no backlash over that. How can you – in all good conscience say it's a myth when we're actually witnessing a siege of American cities in the Northwest? We're watching the violence, you know, occur in the Northwest, and you're telling us right to our face that what you're seeing is a myth. So clearly the Democrat Party, they don't hold this current regime accountable for their actions. They don't hold them accountable for the highest inflation in 40 years. But, you know, there was a post, I believe you posted that Jean-Pierre clip where she tries to gaslight, you know, the inflation issue. And they're aware of it. Well, excuse me, but 8.2% inflation 1 month, 8.3% inflation another month. The country had moved into a recession, and the policies coming out of this administration, this regime, have been destructive for the American people. And now you have Joe Biden doubling down and saying no more drilling, none. Holdren talking about the XL pipeline is dead because you have the Biden regime breaking those investors. And that's why it'll take some good negotiating to bring this the XL pipeline back, which I think could happen with the right individuals in office. And certainly it's not going to happen under a Biden-Harris regime or whoever else they put in place to replace Biden if, in fact, the midterms end up in a shellacking for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, have you ever seen a president in modern history go after a segment of the economy? Literally go at – he wants to shut down coal, destroy the whole coal industry. Yeah. He wants to shut down the energy exploration companies. Shut it down. He wants to destroy segments of our economy that employ thousands of people. It's reckless, it's dangerous, and it's happening right in front of our eyes, and nobody – I don't know. Are we the only ones that are concerned on our side of the aisle? Constitutionalists, yes, we are very concerned. But I feel like it's, like you said, it's a, like Holdren said, we're at 50-50 in this country. 50% conservative Republicans, 50% Marxist communists. And that's a scary number, especially when you have North Korea firing missiles over South Korea. China can go into Taiwan at any time they want. Russia is taking Ukraine. They've already taken Crimea without a bullet being fired. There's a lot of destabilizing influences happening as we speak.
Yeah, and you know, we didn't get to the I'm sorry I didn't get to that Tucker Carlson clip because, you know, there was one thing that I know Sue had sent it out, but – people have actually gotten aware of this fraudulent soundbite by the Democrat Party, and it's called Democracy is at Stake. Biden has mentioned it ad nausea. Certainly the silver tongue, great black dope, Barack Obama has been mentioning it. Democracy is at stake. And they're scaring, they're instilling that fear that democracy is at stake in this election. And Tucker Carlson was probably, this is the best explanation I've heard in his monologue talking about democracy is not at stake in this election. There are candidates that are running for office. But the issue is that America is a constitutional republic. And it was formed that way. And certainly we've gotten far away from that constitutional republic design, schematic. But the soundbite coming out from MSNBC, the DNC, CNN, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, Hillary Rotten Clinton, you know, the intellectually challenged Joe Biden, they're all using the same statement. This democracy, our democracy is at stake. Well, you know who's perverted this constitutional republic? It is the Barack Obamas, the MSNBCs, the CNNs, the Hillary Rotten Clintons, the Joe Bidens, the Kamala Harrises, and any Democrats that's running for public office, because I've heard these candidates use that same phrase for the Democrat Party. So obviously the DNC sent out this soundbite to use to, one, it's to confuse the American people, and secondly, it's to instill that fear. And, you know, it's the Barack Hussein, Satoru Obamas that use the IRS to weaponize the IRS to go after journalists and political opponents. And now the intellectually challenged Joe Biden has done the same thing. And they're talking about democracies at stake. Tucker Carlson called the Democrat Party of today's democracy a Soviet-style democracy. And he is so right. He is so right in that, where, you know, you're trying to find the parallels in history, and Carlson nailed it. The Biden-Harris Democrat Party democracy is the same as the Soviet-style democracy. And they want absolute power. And as you said, how is it that someone in the White House, one man, has unilateral control over the America's abilities to the America company's abilities to drill? Article 1, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution is really clear. It's very simple. It's one sentence. Okay, one little paragraph. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. Tomorrow, the opportunity is clear. It's to get rid of these left-wingers, these left-wing anti-Americans. Let's bring in a new slate of Republicans. And let's stop this insanity that's unilaterally coming out of the White House by this Biden-Harris regime and whoever is running the intellectually challenged Joe Biden. Our republic is at stake, not our democracy. Our republic is at stake with this radical ideology. And the radical ideology is the Democrat Party and their fascism and their Marxist ideology. I just loved it. The Biden-Harris Democrat Party democracy is the Soviet-style democracy. It's beautiful.
Well, you'll have to play it next week for sure.
Yeah, I tell you, it's about 10 minutes, and he absolutely nails it. And if you want to see the video, go to Conservative Treehouse and check it out. I believe it was Saturday is an article, and you'll see it's November 5th, I think. November 4th is the article, and it was excellent. I thought his 10-minute monologue was fantastic, and is one of the best that he's done. I don't listen to Fox News. You know, that's the other narrative that the DNC state-run media wants you to believe, is that because you're a conservative, you listen to Fox News. No, you don't have to listen to Fox News. There are plenty of other mediums out there that you can go to, including American Thinker. You know, you've got the Federalist, Conservative, Treehouse, Breitbart. You can Drudge. And then you can go to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, and you get every type of news out there. So you don't need this alphabet news. So.
That's true. There are a lot of voices out there. You just got to find them.
That's right. That's right.
Daily
so tomorrow's
caller
a big day.
Is good. Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Daily Caller is good. Jihad
oh, yeah.
Watch is good. Great source. Al Jaminer is good.
Yeah, Gatestone Institute has some great
international. Yep.
I love the Gatestone Institute. A lot of great international news opinions. If you want to know about the Iran deal, and you want, they have some excellent experts who write clearly
mm-hmm.
about that.
Yep, and I'll be poll watching tomorrow, the last shift. So it's kind of cool. We can go in and get the receipts from the voting machines when we get there, and get the receipts when we leave. And then we watch where the machines go when someone picks them up. Kind of interesting. So if there's any shenanigans,
yeah.
I'll let you know next week.
Yeah, let us know next week. You know, it'll be really good to hear and have someone on the ground reporting about it. And that is the right of every American to watch your polling place. And it you don't have to be adversarial. You don't have to be confrontational. You can just sit there and watch them and make sure that the election in your precinct is carried out in a proper fashion. That's all. That's it. And everybody has a right to
boring.
Vote.
Yes.
It's boring, but it's worth the time.
I hope it's boring. I want boring.
One of my friends, it was so boring for one of my friends back in 2000 that he got locked in the state capitol because of the election. He was in there for a day and a half.
Locked in the capitol?
Yeah, they locked it down. They locked the state capitol down in the Bush-Gore race when he had the improprieties. The Secretary of State's office was locked down, and he happened to be in there. Couldn't leave. But tomorrow night, we've got Crossing the Crescent, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday, you got Hank Jones and Poly Sports. We'll be talking about the upsets this past weekend in college football, I'm sure. It's 5:30 p.m. Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report, and Paul is also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Absolutely great book. You can purchase at Paul's website or at Amazon.com. Andrew Harrod, Conservative Casual Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also check out Andrew's articles at Jihad Watch and Pajama Media. That guy's got some great articles. Saturday, Minister Sama Dakduk and a beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Real Interfaith Dialogue, Across the Crescent. It's back Sunday at, I believe, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Al and I will be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be talking about the results of the election. Either way it goes, we'll be talking about it. Check out, keep G-Ski in your prayers, Airwaves America. I know that G-Ski is listening, so God bless you, G-Ski. Glad you're doing well. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and her great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. Check them out on Fridays, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. If you want a break from politics and Islam and all the chaos that's going on, check out the Simone Nicole Show on Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. It's a great self-help show. Joshua does a fantastic job, and you can learn great ways to eat and exercise and take care of your body. Thursdays, you got Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com to listen to her great show. She normally has three great guests on, and as she does every week. So check out Audrey's show on Thursdays at AudreyRusso.com. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Bringing on Boy Ducky Northwest, Joe Gibson. Moving forward, iGuy was in the house earlier, as was Gulf Dogs. And I want to thank Sue from New Mexico for calling in today. Thank you, Sue. And also the Viking from the great northwest tundra of snow. No, Holger. Thank you, Holger, for the call. And you all be safe out there and vote early and vote often tomorrow. Now,
adios, amigos. See you next Monday.
All right, you folks, be safe out there. Be aware of the surroundings. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Good night, everyone.
Was my way.
That's all, folks. Wow. That was a quick 2 hours.
It sure did. Great calls from Holder and Sue.
Yes. Yes. And you know, Sue was right. Keep the faith. And you know, while we kind of got, you know, you kind of get negative a little bit and you get concerned. And I think the issue is being concerned. You know, do the American people actually see this? Are the American people seeing this? And, you know, this election, irrespective of where you are in the country, this election is really important because we've seen what the Democrat Party has done when they're in total control. And what we're seeing is not good. What we're feeling is not good. And what we're feeling with result to our wallets and pocketbooks and our savings accounts and our retirement plans is a direct result of these draconian, drastic, and extreme policies of the left wing. Who can deny that what's been passed in Congress, okay, it was passed strictly along party lines. The Democrats have total control of the U.S. House. The Democrats have total control of the U.S. Senate. And they have total control of the White House. And as a result, Nancy Pelosi has done nothing to rein in the radicalism coming from the Biden-Harris regime. Nothing. Zero. She was so adversarial against President Trump, and all President Trump was, remove regulations, get companies to invest in America, and drill. And we became energy independent. And you said that earlier about it's not American policies that did it. It was a president who got out of the way of free enterprise. Because the U.S. government has no business in drilling. The U.S. government doesn't produce oil. It's the free enterprise that does. And when you hamper that ability to do so, as they did the XL pipeline, that's a direct result of extreme policies. This has to be put a stop to, and the Democrats are to blame for this. This is their song, okay? They wrote the song in the last 21 months, and this song is sour.
Which song?
The song of the economy, the economic song.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, now you're talking about shutting down coal in America, and this is the weekend before the election, 2 days before the election. You have the president of the United States saying we're not going to drill anymore, no more drilling, and we're going to shut down coal fire plants. And where is the DNC state run media? Can you imagine a Republican saying that? Oh my God! What about the working people of West Virginia? Where was that analogy, huh? Where was the left-wing media? What about the working families in West Virginia? How are they going to – not one. Silence. Silence.
From the Republicans, too. Where was the Republican establishment? That's why we need Trump. That's why we need Trump. Just his charisma alone.
Yes.
He gets out there, and I love DeSantis, but – DeSantis doesn't even get out there and campaign. I guess Trump's got to be Trump. DeSantis is different. And there's only – he's what's needed at this time, I am convinced.
Well, DeSantis is like Kerry Lake. They have to worry about – right now they're worried about their own states. And they're not worried about the national attention. The attention is focused on their respective states. I get it, okay. And the only thing that's pissing the media off is they are trying to launch this national campaign with DeSantis, and DeSantis is having none of it. He's got a campaign in the state of Florida. Kerry Lake's got a campaign in Arizona, and they're focused on that, and they're trying to get these people to go outside of those boundaries. You know what? Trump's running for president, okay, and possibly running for president. He's got a national audience, and God bless him, and that's exactly what the Republicans need, and it's why the Democrats are reeling. When Biden goes out there, he doesn't command any respect, and he doesn't command the crowds. People don't have the respect for Biden, okay? But when Trump goes out there, you know, he's not getting 140 people. He's getting, you know, 25,000 people, but he's got a national – it's a national appeal. Whereas Kerry Lake, Greg Abbott, Brian Kemp, has anybody heard from Brian Kemp around? No, because he's focused on Georgia. You know, I respect that part of it. And that's what really, we get so sidetracked, and the media has intentionally done that. Okay? And Charlie Crist so wants to tie DeSantis to running for president. The issue right now is every governor. Lee Zeldin is running for governor of New York. Brian Kemp is running for governor of Georgia. DeSantis is running for governor of Florida. They don't care what's happening in Oklahoma or New Jersey and New York. It's what's happening in their respective states. I get it. I really do. And I don't mean to sugarcoat that whole thing. I get Trump needs to do the United States as a whole. And when he's in Ohio, he's talking about candidates in the surrounding areas, and rightly so. But I expect Brian Kemp to be talking about Georgia and endorsing Herschel Walker in Georgia and every House Republican that's running in the state of Georgia. It's not his business what's happening in North Carolina or Alabama or Arkansas. So. Right?
Agree. Agree, okay. 100%.
Oh, it's going to be interesting. Just going to be interesting what's going to happen tomorrow. And, you know, and the cheating aspect of it. Will there be the 2020 style of cheating?
I don't know. Without these mail-in ballots, there's always going to be some cheating, but I don't think they're going to be able to have these $100,000 vote dumps in the middle of the night like they did in Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I think they had to do it under the guise of this pandemic.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe I'm naive. I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to do it as much.
No, I don't think you're naive. I think what's happened is I think the people have gotten coy about this whole thing, and the suits lawsuits that have emerged over the last 2 years, you know, and you've got the court striking down these ballot boxes, you know, as being unconstitutional, and it's driving the Democrats crazy. And the only thing they can say is voter suppression. There is no voter suppression. You know, why do you have these ballots? First of all, ballot harvesting in every state is illegal. In Minnesota, you can't have more than 3 ballots. In the state of Florida, you can't have more than 2. In Georgia, you can't have more than 2 ballots, I believe it is. So how is it that somebody's showing up to these ballot boxes, these remote ballot boxes with 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 ballots? Don't you think that might be just a tad suspect, not to mention illegal? And then these election deniers, okay? All these election deniers, really. So Dinesh D'Souza's 2,000 mules was just hyperbole, right? That's what we heard from the Democrats. Oh, this is just shocking. Oh, really? So how come 8 people have been convicted of voter fraud or charged, or 12 people now charged with, from the 2,000 mules video? You've got what, 6, 8, 12 people now being charged for voter fraud?
You never hear it. You never, yeah, and you never hear about them.
Yeah, which goes to your point about never hearing about things. That's right. That's exactly right. Even my wife said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Oh, so we were talking about ballot, you know, these voter, these what is it, the election deniers." So I don't know. I can't remember what she said, but I said, so you tell me about the 2,000 mules. Well, I didn't watch it. I said, okay, so far, 8 to 12 people in that video that were engaged in voter fraud have been charged with voter fraud as a result of that video. Really? I've never heard that? I said, yeah.
And the only thing I heard from the mules video is that, oh, none of it could be it was all fake, and they just beat it down into nothing, and they ignored it.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very depressing.
I don't know what's going to sway this national media. I don't know what it will take for it to get back into that nonpartisan split. Don't know what it will take. You know, the change obviously came in Watergate. That changed everything. It's almost like everybody wants to be a Woodward and Bernstein, and the ideal way to do that is to go after the Republicans. And yet what we're seeing from the left side of the political aisle has been absolutely horrendous. It's been abuse, it's been fraud, it's been violence, it's been chaos. And yet, you know, when you have 92-94% of the media who backs and sides with the left wing in America, you know, what's it going to take for that to change? You know, how will Sky News of Australia have to buy, you know, two American TV stations in order for it to change, like buy an MSNBC and totally revamp that left wing rag station? I don't know.
I don't know. Are they going to wipe OAN just like they wiped OAN out? The cable companies just removed it. They're just not, I mean, they're only on YouTube now. They killed the network.
Yeah. So free enterprise really works, right? So it's okay to suppress that kind of news. And then just, of course, beat the hell out of Fox News, which really isn't conservative news station any longer, but that you still have a couple of, you know, hosts. One of them is Tucker Carlson. The other is Brett Gutfield, who really tell it like it is. But yet.
Yep, but other than that, no, because the sons have killed the franchise their dad gave them.
Yeah.
Just sad. Or they're in the process of killing it. It's not dead yet, but because they're liberals. And their wives are liberals, so craziness.
All right. Well, you have a good one. Vote early. Vote often tomorrow. And
yes.
Good luck tomorrow night at the at your polling.
Oh, it'll be boring. I hope. I want boring. I don't want anything. It usually is. It's actually a very boring. Have you ever done it?
Yes. Yeah, I did it. I did it several years in a row.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
It's boring. You just sit there.
Uh-huh.
But at least you're there. People notice that you're there. I don't know if it changes anything or not, but I think everything nowadays is going to happen where they're counted, not so much at the polling station. So
yeah, I was really amazed as to how quickly they can do a tabulation at the end of the evening,
mm-hmm.
and how they send them out, how they transmit the results,
yeah.
They can finalize everything. But also, what's really cool, fascinating is when people go to the wrong precinct, and how it's handled, and the misconception that is a voter fraud or that's voter denial or something. You go into the wrong precinct. They don't have any records of you. And then you try to direct them to the correct precinct, and people fight it. And it's like, excuse me, but you're in the wrong location. For one. if you follow the instructions, the person is, you know, giving you, you can go to the next precinct and you have your ability to vote is there.
Yeah. They're like, well, I can vote here. I just need to come in and vote. Give me what I need and let me vote. That is funny. Yeah, I forgot about that. I saw that a few times. But maybe it's people trying to just go to multiple precincts and they just got caught and then just played dumb.
Could be. Game the system.
But I was a little naive. I just thought they were stupid.
Oh, there's a lot of we're naive in a lot of ways, but I think this 2020 election really opened the eyes of a lot of people, and you know, Dinesh D'Souza, for one, his documentary really proved that he was right on target, and the fact that at least 7 or 8 people now have been brought up on charges of voter fraud is clear that he was on the right path. He was in the right steps. So,
right. Just kind of like how when they opened up the classrooms to video school for the kids, so mm-hmm. now the parents could see what their kids are being taught.
Yes.
That opened up a whole can of worms that was needed, and that really is – that was a unintended – what do they call it? A
consequence.
Unintended, yeah, consequence. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, Glenn Youngkin can thank his election win on that very thing, because it woke up the people of Virginia, and the people of Virginia said, hold on a second, we're not taking this crap.
Yeah, the parents probably, they would have been thrilled not to know.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden they know, and they got to do something about it. That's nobody talks about that a whole lot. That's kind of funny.
No, and the establishment politicians like Terry McAuliffe, you know, ends up telling parents to sit down and shut up, and you know, you don't tell the state what to do. It's like, whoa, hold on a second there. Boy, that showed some true colors, didn't it?
Oh, and then the Department of Justice going after parents as domestic terrorists for going to these meetings.
And that, folks, is the Biden regime right there.
Yeah.
The Soviet-style democracy. There you go.
Yeah. Kind of like Eldridge Cleaver. I just learned a little bit about him. He's this Black Panther guy, radical, and he ended up was involved in a shooting, got shot, left the country. He didn't. His wounds healed, and then he left the country and went to a communist country. And he was there for a few years, came back to America, changed his whole tune, did a complete 180 flip, came back and said, file whatever charges you need to file against me for what I did. I take full responsibility, and I just want to come back to America where it's free. And he went to some communist shithole.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. I got to learn more about that guy.
Well, yeah.
I never heard of him. I mean, I've heard the name, but I didn't know the story. It's like, okay, clear. Oh, yeah, I've heard that name, but I couldn't tell you anything about him.
Yeah.
That's a damn interesting story.
So will that be like a Brittany Griner then?
Yeah, exactly like like a Mr. Griner.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad they kept his ass in jail. I mean, 9 years is kind of tough for a little weed, little vaping hash or whatever it was, but at least he's been drug-free now for close to a year.
Excuse me, but, you know, you take for granted the American passiveness, the American leisure, and this is what communism is about. I mean, you have embraced communism in the United States, and now you've got you've got the full taste of true communism, and you don't like it, do you?
It bit you in the ass.
Bigly.
Yeah, I love that story. All right, well, you have a good evening.
All right.
Have a great week.
Thanks. Good luck tomorrow. Hang in there.
All right. I'll talk at you soon.
Ciao. Good night. Good night, Sue.
That's all, folks.
Thank you to Block Talk Radio.